We've been talking about revival, the importance of it, revival now. Was our last message on the day of Pentecost. This morning I want to talk to you about perpetuating revival. Because in the season that we live in the time and day that we live in, this is the season of revival. It's very important we put our eyes upon what God's doing in our world. How many of you know God is moving in our world? He's moving. We hear too much about all the other stuff, but we need to hear more about what God's doing in the earth. How many of you, God is moving a fresh way inside of you, in your life, in your family, or whatever, in a new and a fresh way? Come on, give the Lord praise this morning. Come on. Hallelujah. And up in the balcony, a fresh way of the Spirit of God. Because revival is in the earth. God is reviving His church. He's reviving us. He's reviving us. And we know that the enemy doesn't like that because the enemy wants to shut down the church. How many of you know the devil wants to close the door of every church in America? And the devil is certainly trying to close the door to churches in America. But I've got good news for you, all right? God is bigger than government. And He's a door opener. I don't know if you came to church yet. Are you here? Because God's a door opener. He said, I've set before you an open door and no man can shut it. Amen. I'm grateful for what we have in Montana, that our doors are open, all right? That they are open. And we can join together and experience the power of the presence of God like we are right now this morning. And wow, the anointing is strong. I want you to go to Hebrews 10, if you would with me, because the church is a very important part of revival in the earth. The church. If you're a born-again believer, you are part of God's church. All right? And so the church is a very important part of perpetuating revival in the earth and the anointing of the Spirit of the Lord in the earth. I want you to understand something, that when we gather together as the church, it's about seeking the Lord. Amen. Now, I'm glad you're here in the house. I'm glad that you're watching my live stream. I'm thankful for you. I'm excited for you. All right? But when we gather together, live stream or in the house, it's about seeking the Lord. It's about coming to cry out to God. The church in America has got to be doing more than just coming together and singing a few happy little songs, feeling good about themselves, and going back out into a world that's throwing hellfire at us every day. We've got to be a church that comes together in the house of the Lord and seeks the face of God until we are on fire with the Spirit of the Lord, so that when we go back out of these doors, we take the fire of God, which is greater than the fire of a trial. Come on, somebody. And we make a difference in our world by the fire of the anointing of the Spirit of God that's upon us. That's called fervency. Fervency. Elbow your neighbor and say, I'm fervent. Fervent means to be white hot, on fire for the Spirit of God. See, the church, the gathering of the church, is a place to rally and to pour out our hearts together to the Lord. That's what we've been doing as we've been worshiping this morning, and the glory of the Lord has filled this house. And I trust that you are sensing the glory of the Lord here and His presence in this house and on live stream in your houses. Hallelujah. The glory of God's presence. the anointing. In Hebrews chapter 10, verse 22, the Bible declares this. It's on your screen. Let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Verse 23. Let us hold fast the confession of our faith, our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. Verse 24. And let us consider one another in order to stir up. Somebody say, stir up.
Stir up.
That's revival. Stir up love and good works. And verse 25. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, but exhorting, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day, which is the day of the Lord, the rapture of the church, approaching. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. See, revival, the assembling of ourselves together, is important to revival. Now, let the devil condemn you. I get this stay at home, shelter in stuff. I get all that stuff that's going on in the world. But my point of this message is that the gathering together in the house of the Lord is part of our perpetuating of revival fire in the earth. Because God didn't call the church to be loners. He called us to be a body. He called us to be an army. He called us to stand up in the power of the Holy Spirit and release the anointing of God in revival fire in the earth. Hallelujah. And so I'm thankful for everyone, all of you in the house and in your own house by live stream. But I want you to understand that God is pouring out His Spirit in the house of the Lord. In the house of the Lord. What I'm concerned about is during all this COVID stuff as a pastor is that the enemy is tempting people to lose their passion for the house of God. To get us in a routine that is different than what we've ever known. And forget about the times of refreshing from the presence of God in the house of God. But God is stirring it up. Somebody say, stir it up. Stir it up. See, that's revival. He's stirring us up. He's calling us all back together to the house of the Lord. And I'm glad to see all of you here. I'm glad to see you watching. I see you out there watching. God sees you. But there's a cry together that comes up out of the house of the Lord that God hears, that God sees, that God operates in and responds to. Because in unity and corporately and collectively, we're crying out to the name that's above every name.
Come on.
And we're saying, God, heal our land. God, save our city. God, touch our young people. Lord, heal our relatives. Father, touch our enemies. God, pour out your Spirit. It is the day of harvest. Come on, somebody. Hallelujah. Amen. David said in Psalm 122:1, it won't be on your screen, but he said this. He said, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Talking about Jerusalem. There's a cry, whether you realize it or not, in the heart of every born-again believer for the new Jerusalem of God that the Bible says will come down from heaven, out from God, out of heaven. In the final day when Jesus returns with his saints on this earth. And he will establish his rule and his reign. There is a cry out of the heart of every believer for that house of the Lord, the glory of God. But in the meantime, there's a cry in our hearts for the house of the Lord. You don't know how much I missed being here last Sunday. I sat in the living room with some relatives, and we worshiped, and we praised, and we prayed, and we received the Word of God, and it was okay, but it just wasn't the same as being here with you to worship with you in spirit and in truth, and that your worship energizes my worship, and your anointing activates my anointing. Come on, somebody. And the glory of the Lord responds, and He fills the house, and He has something prophetic to say to us. Amen. There's something that happens in the house. See, in the house of the Lord, the presence of God is manifest continually. Elbow your neighbor and say, it's continued presence. Power is demonstrated greater in the house. Glory is displayed mightier in the house. Because out of our fervency and our cry to God, God responds. There are things that God has done in my life here. Now listen, God is in my home. He's in our house. If you come to our house, you will feel the presence of the Lord in our house. Because we honor Him there. My wife and I honor the Lord there. If you are, as you honor the Lord in your house, it's the same way. There's a glory that comes into your house because you honor the presence of the Lord. And even though the presence of God is there, there's even a greater glory when I come to the house of God in expectation for what He wants to do and a cry out of my heart for more of Him. Together, collectively, then our faith reaches heaven's portal and the heart of God is released and poured out on us together. Hallelujah. And there's just something I receive here that I don't get in my own house. Hello. Even in my own prayer closet, there's just something I get in being in the house of the Lord at the altar of God that I don't get in my own prayer time. Because this has been a place God has chosen to release His presence perpetually. Yeah, come on. Amen. Perpetually. Perpetual revival. Perpetuating revival. How does that happen? I'm going to give you seven things this morning. Seven quick things of perpetuating revival. What does it take to keep the anointing of God going in the earth and in our lives? Number one, all right, write this down. Number one is a passion for God. Derek, let's go to Habakkuk chapter 3, verse 2. Let's go to that verse. And it says this. Habakkuk says, "O Lord, I have heard your speech and was afraid. O Lord, revive your work in the midst of the years. In the midst of the years, make it known. In wrath, remember mercy." How many of you know that in this day and age, we need the mercy of God through revival fire in our earth? There's so many crazy things going on. We need the divine intervention of the Holy Ghost and fire. And one of the first ways that we perpetuate that revival is a passion for God. Philippians 3:10 says this. Paul wrote and he said that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings being conformed unto His death. A passion to know Him. Let me ask you this morning, how deep is your passion to know God? To know Him is to be aware of Him, to perceive, to have knowledge of Him relationally and to understand Him. It is to know His character. It's to know His nature. It's to know His ways. It's to know His word. It's to know His promises. It's to know His thoughts. It's to know His plans. It's to know His transformation. Hallelujah. Paul said that I may know Him. I want to know everything about Him. I want to know how He moves. I want to know what He's thinking about this season we're living in right now. Come on, somebody. I want to know. I know a little bit about what He knows, because what He says is, this is a season of My outpouring. This is a season of the pouring forth of the Spirit of God. This isn't a season of fear. This isn't a season to run. It's a season to rise up and stand up in the power of Almighty God. It's the day to be known. It's the day to stand and declare, I'm a child of the living God, and I don't want the world to know I'm serving Him. That's what God's thinking. The first thing is a passion. Passion is a burning desire that cannot be quenched. It's an intense excitement and enthusiasm. It is a strong affection and love for God. It is a deep worship that expresses the heart of the Father in desire. It's passion. That's what our worship is all about when we gather on a Sunday, is to express our passion to the Lord and to be refueled and to be refired. Do you have a passion? Turn over to your neighbor and say, I've got a passion for all that God has for me. And I won't settle for anything less, because I've got a passion. Somebody shout passion. Number two is pursuit. These are going to be all easy. They're all P's. They're seven P's of perpetuating revival. Number two is pursuit. Pursuit is to follow in order to overtake and capture. So in other words, we're in pursuit of God to overtake His presence and to be captivated and captured in His anointing. Somebody say pursuit. Sometimes when I'm driving down the freeway and I'm doing the speed limit, and I am doing the speed limit, in fact, under the speed limit most of the time, and there's traffic coming up behind me and they're whipping in and out, and I mean, they're just, the cars are going by me like I'm standing still, and I'm doing the 80. And I look at some of them and they're out-of-staters, thinking they're going to get by. And as these cars are flashing by me, my soul, my flesh, my carnality, Randy, starts to stir up a little bit. And I go, Pinna, look at these guys. They've been riding my tail, and now they're gone, and I'm doing the speed limit, and look at them. Just... And pretty soon, my foot starts shaking. Come on, you do the same thing. Don't look at me at that tone of voice. And suddenly, your foot starts easing on the, I had it on the cruise control, too. But then that foot starts easing on that accelerator. The next guy's not going to get me. He's not passing me. Somebody say pursuit. See, it's that kind of idea of chase with a desire to have to follow with specific action, to seek until we find. There's a pursuit of God that's got to be a priority of our life every day that we live. When you get up in the morning, what are you pursuing? Are you pursuing a career? Are you pursuing a job? Or are you pursuing God, who provided you the job, who provided you the career, who meets your, come on somebody, who are you pursuing? Who are you chasing after? We got to chase after the Holy Ghost. When we come together in the house of God to perpetuate revival and we're chasing Him together, I'm telling you, there's nothing God won't do. There's nothing He won't pour out. He'll pour out His glory and His anointing. Somebody shout pursuit. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 9 and verse 10 says this, "Eye has not seen, neither has ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love Him. But God has revealed them to us through His Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God." There's a pursuit. Pursuit is constant action toward the things of God. Pursuit is to continually seek and search for the presence of the Lord. To pursue is a relentless drive within the heart for the deep of God. To pursue is a forward purpose for God alone. Pursuit. Number three is persuasion. Somebody say persuasion. See, though it perpetuates revival is a persuasion. Let's define it. A persuasion is to cause someone to believe something. It is to convince or to have a strong faith and belief and conviction in God and in His Word. There is a persuasion. Paul said it this way. He said, "I am persuaded that neither life nor death, nor principality, nor power, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature will be able to separate me from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, my Lord." I'm persuaded. There's a persuasion that perpetuates revival. I'm persuaded that this day in which we live is leading up to the rapture of the church. I am persuaded that this is a season of the harvest, the greatest harvest of souls that the church has ever known globally around the world. I am persuaded that this is the season of the pouring out of the Spirit of God from heaven, as Joel 2:28 and Acts 2:4 talks about. It's the time of the pouring out of God. I am persuaded, and nothing can change that. I'm so persuaded that I'll chase God. I'll run after Him. I'll pursue Him. I'll have a passion for Him because I'm persuaded. Now here's what the Word says in 2 Timothy 1:12. Paul said, "For this reason I suffer these things. Nevertheless, I'm not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed. And I'm persuaded that He is able to keep that which I have committed to Him against that day." Amen. Somebody say, "I'm persuaded." That means the devil can't talk you out of it. That means whatever happens in your life can't deter you from your persuasion. That means whatever trial, whatever hiccup, whatever hole, whatever rock or stump that may be in the way to try to trip us up isn't going to change our persuasion. I'm persuaded this is a season of revival. Somebody say persuasion. In Romans 4:20 and 21, the Bible says that Abraham did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God. Verse 21, "And being fully convinced or persuaded that what God had promised, God was able to perform." Hallelujah. You need to hear this. When a promise is announced, it becomes blessing. When God announces a promise to you from His Word, that promise becomes your blessing. And as you pursue God, you are pursuing the promise of His blessing. You've got to hear this morning. And the enemy can't take that away from you because you're fully persuaded that what God has promised, God is able and will perform it for you. Amen. This is a good word. Persuasion is confident faith in the Word. It is convinced of God's promise. Number four, just a few more real quickly. Number four is to perpetuate revival, there must be a pressing in. Somebody say pressing in. See, revival's not just going to come and find you. You've got to go find it. Hello? Because we get this mentality, I'll just wait for God to do what God wants to do. Now listen, there's an element of waiting on God, but the Scripture says we wait on the Lord in worship. We wait on Him. We serve. Waiting is to serve. But now watch this, all right? We're to press in, because pressing in is the act, and act with steady force. To press. I was gluing a piece of wood the other day making this tabletop out of barn wood for my wife, and it had a big splinter on the top, and I needed that to be smooth, and it had to be glued down. And in order for that glue to take and hold that where it needed to, there had to be pressure. There had to be force put onto that. And I held it with my hand for a while, and it didn't work. So I finally got this bright idea, Ron. I have clamps. He's a cabinet maker. He knows what I'm talking about. I've got clamps. So I put stuff on there, and I put them clamps on there, and I squeezed that thing down on there, and it stayed where it was supposed to because it had the right pressure and the right force. Listen, there's a pressing in. Come on, to the presence of God. There's a pressing in to the revival of fire of God. There's a forcing in to the victory that God says is ours. The kingdom of God suffers violence, but the violent take it by force. We need to pause right here and give God praise. Come on, somebody needs to praise the Lord. There's a press. There's a pressing. It's persistent and strong. Philippians 3:14, Paul said, I press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Matthew 5:27, the woman with the issue of blood heard about Jesus. She came behind him in the press and the Bible in the crowd. And the Bible says, and she touched the hem of his garment. She pressed in. There's a force. Sometimes you got to force your way past unbelief and doubt. You've got to force your way past the enemy's lies and the devil's attacks. And you got to force your way in. Enemy, get out of my way. I've got the power of the Word. You can't stop me. There's no mountain. There's no valley. There's not anything you can put. There's not a desert. There's not a storm, devil, that you can bring that will stop me from pressing in to the presence of the Almighty God. Hallelujah. This is a season of perpetuating revival. Number five is persevering. Somebody shout, persevere. Oh, this is the one that where we really battle with a lot. You got to fight to get in. You got to persevere, stay strong. You got to keep going on no matter what it looks like in the world. You got to keep pressing. Persevering goes with pressing. To persevere means to continue in spite of difficulty and opposition. It has a team concept to it, or also a military concept to it, that together we persevere. So if one gets weak, The other lifts him up and says, come on, we're going to keep going. Come on, you can do this. Come on, you can block that tackle so the runner can get through the line. Come on, you can do it. Come on. There's an encouragement. There's a persevering. There's a standing together against opposition. There's a persistence. There's a resolute endurance. There's a steadfastness. There's a firmness that's been established that you're not going to give up. I've set myself in this, and I'm going to keep going in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Somebody give the Lord praise. There's a perseverance. 1 Corinthians 15:58 says, therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. That what you're doing is not in vain. You're going to make it. You're going to break through. Come on, somebody. You're going to see revival. You're going to see your family saved. You're going to see your body healed. You're going to see miracles and signs and wonders in the name of Jesus. You're perpetuating revival. Number six is provoke yourself. Provoke yourself. Now let me define this for you. Very important. Provoke means to excite to some action or feeling, or to call forth and stir up the heart. How many of you know every now and then you got to provoke yourself? If there's no one there with you at the moment to help push you on, you got to push on yourself and say, come on, Spirit of God in me, rise up. I'm provoking excitement. I'm provoking faith. I'm stirring up confidence. Come on. I'm stirring up the strength of the Lord. I'm going to make it. I'm going through. Hallelujah. I provoke myself to do it. Those are the moments that when you feel weak, the Bible said, then the Lord says, I am strong. Provoke yourself. Hebrews 10:24, the scripture says, let us provoke one another to stir up the love of God and good works. Revival. Somebody say, stir up revival. Number seven. The last thing this morning, number seven, is prove yourself. Prove yourself. Now the Bible says we are workmen needing not to be approved unto God. But you know what? There's times in our lives we need to prove ourselves. How many of you know what I'm talking about? I just need to know I can overcome this in the power of the Spirit. Hello. I need to prove to myself that God is who He said He is. Oh, are you hearing this? Amen. Perpetuating revival is proving yourself. In other words, if you said, God, you're the only one I'm serving and I'm going after you with all of my might, then prove it to yourself that you're going after Him with all of your might. Prove it to yourself. Because it's too easy to say it and then lay back and not do it, and we get complacent and we get lethargic, and then we've got to have a refire. Hello, somebody. Now, see, there's a holy conviction in this house now. Because perpetuating revival requires us. Prove yourself. Now, here's what proving is. It's to test by standard. Here's the standard. I'm going to test myself according to the standard. Oh, come on, somebody. So I can prove to this old flesh that the Spirit of God in me is greater than he that is in the world. Oh, come on, praise Him. Test by standard. God said you can overcome, then let's go for it and do it. He said we're more than conquerors. All right, let's go do it. Are you hearing this? Spirit of the Lord. So do it, prove. It also, to prove ourselves, means to establish as true. I know you've told the Lord, I'm going to be true to you. Prove it to yourself. I'm going to be true to you, God, because I'm calling out on your name. I'm reading your word. I'm not forsaking assembling. I'm gathering for revival in my home and in the house. I'm gathering my family to the things of God. Powerful prophetic word that Pastor Kevin gave us. It's not optional, it's essential. But watch, prove yourself. Prove your strength. You see, proof is anything serving to establish truth. Proof is the trial of worth and quality. Proof is to be tested, or the proving of strength. That's what the fire of God does. He said, when a trial comes and you're tested by fire, that's just, it's proving the strength of God in us. Amen. The greater the fire that hits metal, the stronger the power of that metal will be afterwards. Somebody say, prove yourself. Prove also means to examine, to discern. See, when in trial, be approved of God by proving through faithfulness and continuance that you're after Him with all of your heart. And prove it to yourself. Romans 12:2. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of the Lord. Hallelujah. Prove it to yourself. Because God doesn't need proving. You can't tempt God. He's already proved Himself through His Word. Come on, somebody shout amen. 2 Corinthians 13:5 says this, examine yourselves as to whether you are in the faith and prove yourselves. Do you not know yourselves that Jesus Christ is in you? Unless indeed you are disqualified. Jesus has qualified you for revival fire.